And the morning breaks the turn and rise and share when the silver first has gathered over and the rule is called up. And yeah, when the rule is called up, yeah. On that bright and cloudless morning, bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ and the glory of his resurrection, when his chosen one, and the roll is born of thunder, when the roll is born of yonder. The rolling call of God, when the rolling call of when the rolling call of yonder, on that bright and cloudless morning, on that bright and cloudless morning, when the day, then one shall gather. And the roll is called up. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Amen. That's our consolation. Amen. So could we just all bow our heads and close our eyes? Just want to call Brother Neville Roderick to just pray with us this afternoon.
Lord, we are indeed thankful this evening, O God, for your amazing grace that you have bestowed upon us, Lord. That we could come here in our right minds, knowing, Lord God, that this is the time and the hour, Father. Lord God, that we know, Lord God, that in your great thinking, Lord, you know about this that will take place this evening, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that it's not to be sad, oh God, but to rejoice this evening, Lord. To know, Lord God, that we gather like this, Lord, knowing that we are part of the resurrection, Lord. Lord, you died and proved that shall a man live again? Lord God, we know, Father, that you is the one who have died and rose again. And today we have the victory, Lord, that we could worship and glorify your name, knowing that each and every one have a hope this evening to know, Lord God, that even though we die, we shall live, Father. Lord, and we are thankful, Lord, that you will take full control of this service, Lord, knowing that you're the one that is in our midst, Lord. You're the one that is here to comfort every heart. You're the one to give each and everyone peace, O God, and joy and contentment this evening, Lord. So, Lord, we commit this entire service, everything that will be said and done, into your hands, knowing that you will get the glory and the honor at the end of this service. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. That's so good to see everyone. We are happy to be here. Amen. That's to sing and to worship our God. You know, they said in everything, just give him thanks. Amen? Just want to sing a song. I'll call the words of the sing-along. There is a land of milk and honey. There is a land where we won't need money. There is a land shining with jasper. There we shall meet. Praise our blessed Savior. Amen? So could we just sing that song? There is a land of milk and honey. There is... Oh, let's just clap our hands and sing. There is a land shining, a land shining with jasper. There we shall meet our blessed. And that's the reason we shout hallelujah, praising the King across the river, the shiny river, where the saints will gather. Yeah, we shall see. We shall see our plan. Our hopes are bright. Our lamps are burning. And day by day, our hearts are yearning. This is the evening. He will come. Then we shall win. And that's the reason we shout hallelujah. Hallelujah, praising the King. Cross the river, the shining river, where the sin, yeah, we shall see. Oh, there is a land of milk and honey. There is a land where we won't need money. There is a land shining with jasper. There we shall see our blessed Messiah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Could we just sing our next song? No, we are going to a land where we won't need any money, where there's joy unspeakable. Amen. In the sweet by and by. Amen. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. Amen. There's a land that is fairer than day. It's number 53 in my sister Blue Song books in the stack in the back there, number 53. Maybe many a person might never be in a service like this, but let's just clap our hands and worship the Lord a little bit. Amen. He deserves all the worship. Amen. There's a land that is fairer than day. And there's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar. For the Father went over the way to prepare us. In the sweet by and by, sweet by and by. Oh, we shall be on that beautiful shore. Oh, in the sweet by and by. Oh, we shall be on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore. Beautiful shore. The melodious song. And our spirit shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for the blessing, not a sigh for the blessing. In the sweet by and by, oh, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, oh, we shall meet. In the sweet by and by, in the sweet, oh, by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Oh, in the sweet by and by, oh, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Amen. Could we just all have our seats? Amen. Knowing in a time like this, you know, many people, they will have some good words to say. So at this time, we just want to call our beloved sister in the back there. Just step forward. Just want to say a few words in behalf of Mr. Bishop. Amen. Unspeakable and full, glory the heart has never yet been told. It is joy, unspeakable and full, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy, unspeakable and full, glory the heart. has never yet been told. Oh, it is joy unspeakable, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. The heart has never yet. Oh, let's sing it one more time. It is joy unspeakable, joy unspeakable, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy.
Never was anyone like you. Never will one be the same.
And honor the bar of his name.
For he is special, delivering, wrapped up in love, bound by a promise, sealed by a dove and filled with the Spirit, carried by grace. He knew where he was going by the look on his face. Love and care for souls. Very well, love showed the way. Those who knew me were but holy. And I say what they saw to this very day. For he is special, delivering, wrapped up in love, bound by a promise. Sealed by a dove and filled with the Spirit, carried by grace, he knew where he was going by the look on his face. When I go, I will go gladly. I will not speak or defy.
Thou art worthy, oh, thou art worthy. Oh, who knoweth the mind of the Lord that they could instruct him? Let us sing and give him honor and give him glory. He is the Lord our God. Hallelujah. For his pleasure he created us. We can't tell the potter what to do with the clay this afternoon. He created us for his own pleasure. So how we ought to give him all the honor and give him the praise and whatever things it is. The scripture said in whatever thing, give him thanks. Amen. In death, give him thanks. Amen. We don't know the mind of God that we could instruct him. So let's just rejoice and give him praise this afternoon. Amen. Could we just sing the song, Faith of Our Fathers, Living Still. In spite of dungeon, fire, and sword, oh, how our hearts beat high with joy when we hear his glorious word. Amen. Let's sing that song. Amen. Faith of Our Fathers. Faith of Our Fathers, living still. In spite of dungeon, in spite of dungeon, fire, and oh, how our hearts beat high, oh, how our hearts beat high with joy. Whenever we hear the glorious word, whenever we hear the glory. Of our fathers we will love. Faith of our fathers we will love. Both friend and foe, both friend and foe. In all our strife, in all our strife. And preach thee too, and preach thee too. As love knows how,
chained in prisons of
our fathers, chained in prisons.
Oh, we're still in heart and conscience free. How sweet would be their children's faith. They like them could die for thee. Bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for your presence amongst us this evening. We thank you for your quickening power that is here. Oh God, our hearts beating high with joy. And Lord, we are in expectation for the great comfort that will come and comfort every troubled heart. Hallelujah. May the great Holy Spirit sweep over this congregation this evening. And Lord God, may the love of God be shed abroad in every heart. May you be the anchor of every soul, every hope and stay this evening, Father. And Lord God, those who come with a sorrowful heart, may they leave consoled. Give them a consolation, Father, a hope steadfast and sure, a rock unmovable in the soul this evening. Let them know you who said, I am the resurrection and the life. Come and get on and glory in this service. Lord, we know our sister would like this to be one of joy unspeakable this evening. So, Lord God, may you honor our faith and our reverence and sincerity as we come, looking unto you and believing that your word is true. Bless each and every one now, we pray, for we ask it in thy precious name. Amen. Could we remain standing for the reading of the word? I'd like to read a few portions of scripture in the book of Genesis. Genesis 25, and another portion in Genesis 47 and 49. Genesis 25, reading from verse 7. If someone drop a Bible and they can't get close to one, just listen attentively as we reverence the presence of Almighty God. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 115 years. And Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, which is before Mamre, the field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth. There was Abraham buried and Sarah his wife. And it came to pass after the death of Abraham that God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac dwelt by the well Lahairoi. Also Genesis 47, reading from verse 27. And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years, so the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. And the time drew nigh that Israel must die. And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt, but I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt, and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. And he said, Swear unto me, and he swore unto him, and Israel bowed himself upon the bedhead. Also, Genesis 49, reading from verse 29. And he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife. And there I buried Leah. The purchase of the field and of the cave that is therein was from the children of Heth. And when Jacob made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet in his bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. Continuing, and Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded the servants of physicians to embalm his father, and the physicians embalmed Israel. And 40 days were fulfilled for him, for so are fulfilled the days of those who are embalmed. And the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. And when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spoke unto the house of Pharaoh, saying, If now I have found grace in your eyes, speak, I pray you, in the ear of Pharaoh, saying, My father made me swear, saying, Lo, I die. In my grave, which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan, there shall thou bury me. Now therefore let me go, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. And Pharaoh said, Go up and bury thy father, according as he had made his way. Continue in verse 12 and 13. And his sons did unto him according as he had commanded them, for his sons carried him into the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah, which Abraham bought with a field for a possession of a burying place of Ephron the Hittite before Mamre. Verse 22, 26. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation, the children of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto a land which he swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you. You shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. May God has blessed you with his word. You may have a seat.
want to welcome everyone this evening in the house of the Lord, and we are thankful for the presence of the Lord Jesus amongst us this evening. We are gathered here to pay our last respects to our dear sister Bishop, and I do believe that as we gather here this evening, there is nothing we could say that could change anyone's here opinion of her, because we believe that the life that she has lived and the testimony that she has had, it speaks among all of us this evening, and we can truly say that she has left some footprints on the sands of time this evening. You know, many a time when people gather for funeral services like these, is kind of the belief that, you know, a lot of nice words be said about maybe the person who passed on and all these things. But I believe that their life, the person who lived while they was alive, has spoke for itself. And those who were acquainted with her and knew her, they saw that life, which was a voice in itself, that spoke, and those who she came in contact with. And we are thankful this evening that we can say a nice word, and yet we wouldn't feel guilt in our hearts that she don't deserve the thing that we could say about her. Because all of us who knew her knew that she was a Christian. She had accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, been baptized in the remission of her sins, and was living a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, with a hope in her heart, looking for the coming of the Lord. And the Bible said, they who die will obtain a better resurrection. Amen. Because the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we who are alive and remain shall remain unto the coming of the Lord, and shall be gathered together with them to be caught up and meet the Lord in the air. And the Bible also says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. And we thank God that God, who knows all things, knows that in times like this, when sorrow would come, that there would be words of comfort. There'd be words, as Jesus said, my word is spirit and life. It'd be a word that could go deep down to the heart and the soul, not just to pacify the spirit of the person, but to anchor them, to stabilize them, to give them strength. Amen. That they could rise out of this. And if we look back at the situation this evening, then we could examine it carefully. And I remember when I last saw her there, but a bishop, her son, who just led his own service, and myself, we were walking up the road, and I was telling him, I said, if the Lord take your mother now, it will be better for her. I said, because she has no little babies behind, she has no little children to suffer or anything. All of her children have grown, they have come of age, they are married, they have their homes established, and she's just an old, way-out mother. Amen. She gave her life for her home, for her children, for her family. And then when she came to know the Lord in a personal way, then she surrendered herself unto him to serve him and walk his way. And this evening, we have her remains here, this corporal body, this physical body that her parents had provided. God provided that body to them, the father and the mother coming together. But in that body was a living soul. Amen. The Bible says this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, she already had another one waiting. Amen. Because Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house and many mansions. And that don't mean that this place is built with mortar and stone up there. Amen. It's a house, the Bible says, made without hands, eternal in the heavens. Because God do not dwell in tabernacles made with hands. And we thank God that, you know, where she is this evening, because we are subjected to these five senses, we might think that she's far away somewhere. But those of us who are taught in the Holy Scriptures, we know that it's just another dimension that she is in this evening. But because of the sense of sight limited to the physical realm, we cannot see beyond that physical realm to be wholly unseen. And I remember one time in the Bible, a prophet prayed for a man in the book of Kings, and his eyes opened and he saw angels and chariots of fire all round about him. Because there was something in another dimension that the man couldn't see. And she had known about these things, and she understood these things. And she believed in these things. And that is why we could come and sing this evening, because she didn't fear death for where she was going,
Because true witnesses came back with true testimonies saying that there's a land beyond the river. Amen. Saying that after this life, death don't finish this life here. Death only changes our dwelling place. Amen. And death don't change a person's nature. Because as Christians, we believe in a resurrection. And a resurrection tells us that it is the same thing that goes down, it is the same thing that comes back up. You plant a grain of corn, it's corn going to come back up. You plant a mango seed, it's a mango seed. Come back up and say, that she's going to rise in the resurrection, and she's going to come with joy, she's going to come with praising God, she's going to come looking for her brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, looking for her loved ones who is established in the same faith that became the anchor of her soul. So this evening, I'd just like to comfort the family and the relatives and all those whom the spirit of grief might be resting upon this evening and have the heart heavy. I know in times like this when we come close to people and we are attached to them and we come to know them in a personal way and we remember acts of kindness and, you know, remember our association with them in this natural life and the times we share together and they visit, they made her home and they dress. She sewed for many ones here that they should go and she would sew for them and the things that you are acquainted with because of those things and the attachment that have come from those things, there might be some sort of a grief knowing that you will no longer be able to visit the home and see her no more. But because of the hope we have this evening, because of the evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that have made us Christians, because of Christ didn't rise, we couldn't be a Christian. Because a Christian is Christ living in somebody. And if Christ was in the grave and he didn't rise, he couldn't be living in me and you this evening. But because he's living in people this evening, and we become Christians of his resurrected life, changing us, though the people might see the physical body and have never maybe realized that the power that brought that vessel in subjection to God's holy word, that changed that person, man of worldly life, that made that person a new creature in Christ, and all things pass away. Maybe people might think that a person maybe reformed himself, or they stopped doing things, and his mind over matter is more positive thinking. But for a Christian, it is a complete transformation. And it takes the power of the Holy Spirit, it takes the power of the life of Jesus Christ to transform a person's life. Amen. So, as I said this evening, there is nothing we could say that might be able to change anyone's opinion of Miss Bishop. Those of us who knew her and associated with her, she fellowshiped right here in this assembly. She was a member of this church, and she came here and she walked in and out amongst us. We knew of the desire she had to serve God and the belief that she had in God's word. And for those of us who might have been a little more acquainted with her, when she would express to us her personal desires in her heart, and when she would really express the inward part of who she really was inside of there, we knew that she was a believer in Jesus Christ. She was a believer in the resurrection. She knew that if she died, and this flesh, it comes to its end, she knew that she was going to just step into another body, already prepared for her, and she's alive in another land, with the saints of all ages that make up the body of Jesus Christ that will appear back upon the face of the earth when the last trump song. She knows she'll be in that number. Many times we would sing the song of the church when the saints go marching in. I know I'll be in that number. She would sing that song. Amen. Many times she would sing, Lord, let me look past the curtain of time. It would drive away all my sorrow and fear, because she knew that beyond this curtain of time, there was an eternal resting place. Amen. She would sing songs about the resurrection, and when the roll is called beyond that, I'll be there, because she knew that there was going to be a roll call. She knew her name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. She knew when the trumpet sung, she was going to come up. Amen. And if that was her faith, if that was the way she lived, to say something that would change the course of what she believed in, to die first, I'll be a poor representative to be standing here to say something on behalf of Sister Bishop. But because of the things that she believed in, because of the way that we knew her and came in contact with her. Now, many people might know her as a seamstress, but we knew her as a sister in the Lord. We knew her as a Christian. We knew her as one who was chosen of God to serve God in this generation, to believe God's revealed word that have come in this day through a prophet, to walk in that light and not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, knowing the power of God unto salvation. We knew her that way. And that's why we gather here this evening with a joy in our hearts. Because if any one of us as believers would go this evening or tomorrow, we'd want the same type of service. Amen. Amen. And my personal acquaintance with her, I remember just the last, moments I spent with her, I believe was sometime Wednesday or Tuesday in the day. Either Wednesday or Tuesday. And I was there in the home and like she wasn't responding hardly. And, you know, when I went in, her husband told me, she said, she hadn't responded to anybody at all. And she hardly knew anybody. And she just, you know, responded to the Lord Jesus. I would be muttering some prayer as much as her vocal cords would allow her to. And from the time I went into the room and I said, Sister Bishop, is Brother Vince. She just kind of raised my eyes and said, Brother Vince. And right away, so I just, you know, I saw that and knew then that inside of her, in those last moments, because she was thinking of the Lord and the word of God that she held to and the thing that she cherished in her heart, when those last dying moments come, as Job says, we come naked in the world, and naked in the world we go. Amen. And contemplating on God is his great gain. And the only thing we can take is the character of Jesus Christ, the hope in our heart to rise in the resurrection. Amen. All that we labor for, all that we achieve, we'll have to leave it here. And that last moment when she realized even the very body that she walked in and lived in, and people knew her because of that body, the resemblance of that body and these things, she might have to leave that body behind. Amen. For a soul to take a flight back in the arms of God. And we thank God, you know, that even that last moment, you know, she was responding to the word of God and she was just there, heart, like she was just waiting for the child to swing low, coming forward to carry her home. Amen. And then we think this evening, would this be the end? Would this be the end? Would this be the final chapter? When the last screw is screwed on the coffin? When it's placed down in the hole? When the dirt is thrown upon it? When just a stone put there for memorial saying that here lays the body of Sister Bishop? Would that be the end of it? Or is there a possibility we'll see again? Amen. 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 And I know if she was here this evening or somebody else, she would like me, you know, to say these things. And I know she would like me to say what I'm saying here this evening, so that's why I feel in my heart. I feel free to express it. And I trust that I don't keep it long, just about 10 minutes, just to speak something from the scriptures we have read this evening. Why that we have this hope. Why that we could comfort the family. If they, you know, sometimes I push my driver motor car, I'd be one of the safest drivers on the road, but they don't know anything about the engine at the very car that they drive. Somebody might be a lot of health and eat a lot of healthy foods and maybe doing too much of thin things and too much of hybrid foods and these things, but then they may not even know medically about the body and these things. But we find out in the same way sometimes, you know, if a person, as I said, you know, have a motor car to fix, they wouldn't go by a dentist. And if somebody have a shoe to repair, they wouldn't go maybe by somebody in a grocery. They'd go to a shoemaker. They would go to the man of a motor car, they'd go to a mechanic. And here this evening, because of the word of God, God have people, he's called to preach his gospel. How shall they hear without a preacher? And then when times come like this, and maybe, you know, they love the mommy and they had their home well put together and these things, and then death has come and death has entered the home. Though they might have observed death entered many homes, here comes their very own home, death have entered the home. And then maybe for the first time, they begin to think, is this the end of mommy? Would we see again? For all the years, they knew. For when they nurse on her breast, from when she would pick them up, when she would dry the tears, when she would rock them to sleep, when she would put on the school and send the clothes, put on the clothes and send them to school, when she would, was there at the wedding, you know, when she gave them the blessing that she approved of these things. And here, what they knew as a mother is gone. And then they might have grief now and think, well, that's the end. And maybe, you know, just live now because of memory. But I want to say this evening, because the word of God that we know to be the truth, we don't have to just live on a memory, we can have a hope for the future. Amen. We can look forward and keep walking the light here, knowing that one day she will rise. Amen. And when she comes, it wouldn't be the old wrinkled body there coming up. It would be a young woman. Amen. Amen. A young woman come there
a perfection coming up there in the resurrection. Amen. And, you know, thinking about that, would there be a possibility that we could see again? And I remember in the Bible, somewhere in the 14th chapter of Job, Job was thinking about it one time because he had come so close to going. He was sick, go through a hard time, and not just sick, he lost his family, he lost his possessions. And while he was there, it caused him to think. And many a time, situations like this cause us to think. And maybe things that he may not be attracted to and look with concern at, he found himself looking at deep, with deep concern at the flowers. That would come up beautiful, and would fade away. But he finds it would come up again. If you look at the sun rise in the morning, and a new day has been born. And all the cock begin to crow and everything to herald the new day. And people get up and go to work and labor for their children, for their homes. I would come back in the evening at the sunset, and night would come, and darkness. But then he would see the sun rise again in the morning. And then he saw his own self coming down to the grave, and he said, if a man die, what about a man? I see the flower come back in the spring. I see the sun come back up every morning. What about a man? What about human life? I see a man go down the ground and wasted away, and his sons come to honor him, and the morning they cry. But would that be the end? But a vision broke his heart, and he saw one coming. And Job called that one his redeemer. Not his doctor, not his friend or some association. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And there was something about the Redeemer that gives a hope, because he says, though the skin worm destroyed this body, yet in this same flesh I will see God, because I see my Redeemer. I was a Redeemer this evening. And for one to be a Redeemer, you have to be able to redeem. And for one to be redeemed, they must be redeemable. Amen. Job didn't say, well, my doctor, somebody could heal me. Somebody that could redeem him. And the word redeem means if something is lost, and it was in a certain position at first and it's lost, there is something that can come and bring it back to that original estate. And when we think of Job knowing that back there in the Garden of Eden, God made a perfect man in his image and his likeness. There wasn't even death in the picture. Amen. A man of perfection. And here there's going to be a redeemer who could come and bring back that same kind of man. And he had faith. And he said, I know, not a hope so, I know positively. I know, I have the assurance. It's settling my heart. There is no doubt in my mind. I know it. That my Redeemer liveth. And I want to say this evening, that Sister Bishop knew that her Redeemer lived also. Because that Redeemer that Job saw is still the same Redeemer this evening. Very same person. Amen. And this evening, when we think of that, as we look in the scripture here, that there was something about the people of God. Maybe it might have been overlooked in the scripture. It might have been bypassed. It might have been just a story to some. But as we observe the scriptures that have been read this evening, which is God's word, and Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but not one jot or one tittle of my word shall in any wise fail. And as you look back in the scripture this evening, Abraham, the Bible says, came to a place where Sarah was going to die, his wife. And Sarah died, and Abraham wanted a place to bury Sarah, because he knew that an angel had visited Sarah. He knew that Sarah had received strength to conceive seed when she was old and barren. He knew that the power of God had changed Sarah and bring her back to a young woman. He knew, yeah, she had become an old woman now, and she had died, and she's going to be put to rest. And Abraham didn't just want to bury Sarah anyway. And maybe consulted the Lord where to bury Sarah. And a revelation struck his heart. Power of God had changed Sarah and bring her back to a young woman. He knew, yeah, she had become an old woman now, and she had died, and she's going to be put to rest. And Abraham didn't just want to bury Sarah anyway. And maybe consulted the Lord where to bury Sarah.
And a revelation struck his heart where the Bible said Abraham is a prophet. And Abraham went to a certain man and asked the man to buy a burying place to bury Sarah. You believe God is still the same God as Eden? And the man says, all right, he's a great man among us, honorable. We can give you that piece of land. He said, no, I don't want it free. I'm going to pay for it. And he paid his money and he bought that piece of land as a burying place. And Abraham buried Sarah there when she died. And no doubt he left instructions, like we see Joseph did and Jacob did before they died. And he told him to bury him also in the same place that he buried Sarah. And we find when Abraham died, Abraham's sons came and buried Abraham in the same place that he buried Sarah in. And that didn't stop there. We find that Isaac and them, they travel from place to place and pitch the tent and live. But when the time came that Isaac died, we find out that he left instructions to bury him in the very same place that Abraham and Sarah was buried in. And when Rebecca died afterwards, she was buried in the very same place. And when Jacob died, he didn't die in Canaan land, he died down in Egypt. And we know the story, how they had to go down in Egypt when Joseph was sold as a slave down in Egypt. And while Joseph was down there, then he sent for his family and his father came down in an old man. And then the end of the days of the pilgrimage of Jacob had ceased. And here now, Jacob, before he died, he called him. And Jacob had met an angel one time. And after he wrestled that angel, his foot came out of place. The angel struck him on his thigh and he told his son Joseph, who was another prophet. He said, take your hand and put it on my thigh and swear that you will leave me down in Egypt. But you will take me and bury me in that same place that Job was buried in. In that same place that Abraham and Sarah was buried in. In that same place Isaac and Rebecca was buried in. He said, because I bury Leah in that same place also. And bury me in the very same place. No, we know God is God. God is God everywhere. God is God in the jungle. God is God in the sea. God is God in heaven. But God has a plan. They could have died and be buried in Egypt. But he said, look, don't leave my bones in Egypt. Now, what is the mystery? What it was? You see, Job had seen his Redeemer coming on the earth. And when Abraham and them had a revelation, that same Redeemer who's going to come in the last days. And they had a hope of a resurrection, that though this kingdom destroys his flesh, yet in the same flesh I'll stand on the earth. They knew that the resurrection was not going to take place in Egypt. And we know that Paul said the Bible, the Old Testament especially, is of shadows and types. And a shadow is only the image of the reality to indicate what the reality will look like. So you might say, brother, you mean to say that there's a place today we have to be buried in order to come up in the resurrection? You mean to say God's not the same plan in the New Testament? No, that was before the first coming of Jesus Christ. Before he came the first time, and when he came the first time and died on the cross, there was a resurrection. I don't have time to read it for everybody looking in the Bible, but I'm going to quote it to you, and many of you who know the scriptures will know that that is so. In St. Matthew 27, verses 50 to 53, the Bible says, Jesus cried a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And when he cried a loud voice, the Old Testament saints that slept around. Yes. And when he came out of the grave, they came out to him. Yes. Because they all was waiting here, knowing one day that Redeemer would come. And the Bible says when he comes a second time, there will be a resurrection again. And there has to be a real burying place today again. And that's why we have the confidence this evening. Because the same revelation Job had from the same God, the same revelation Abraham get from the same God, the same revelation Isaac get from the same God, the same revelation everyone get from the same God. We have received that same revelation from the very same God. that they could be buried in the very same place this evening. What a burial. A true burying place. Not to be buried anywhere. And the Bible says, they that are in Christ, will God bring with him. Amen. They that are in Christ. And the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and made flesh and dwelt among us. And we know that Jesus Christ is the Word. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then, to come up in the resurrection at his second coming, we have to be buried in the right place. And let me give a testimony for her this evening. And when the light struck her path, she said, don't leave me down in Egypt. Don't leave me in denominations in the world. Don't leave me out here without a hope. But take me out and bury me in that promised world. Because I want to go up in the resurrection with a trumpet song. God is God everywhere, but God has a plan. And the plan is revealed to the ones who know that the Redeemer liveth. She had that revelation. Because she was more than a seamstress. Hallelujah. Amen. She was more than a seamstress. Amen. She had a revelation of the burying place. And look at Joseph. The children, Joseph told him, he says, look, I'm going to die. And your time isn't up yet. The 400 years before you come out of here isn't up yet. But don't bury my bones here. Put it in a coffin. And that might look strange. People might say, oh, they have that man in the coffin there. Put the man in the grave. But they were holding on to a revelation. And whenever them slaves would pass and the back stripe with those Egyptian slave master whips, they would look at the bones of Joseph and get hope. They know we're going out one day. Because that prophet says, bury his bones in the promised land, in the land of his fathers. Bible says in the last days, God will turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers. The true original apostolic fathers. Because the church has started their Pentecost as an apostolic church. Amen. And by one spirit are we all baptized in that one body. Because the church is the body of Jesus Christ. With receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit the same way they received it on their Pentecost. With the same sign, the same one. Because Jesus Christ said, he's the same yesterday, today and forever. God said, I'm God, I change not. Amen. So then we realize there is an assurance of coming up in the resurrection. Because that same voice that called Lazarus from the grave was the same voice that cried out on the cross and brought up sleeping saints. It's the same voice when I speak in this last day again and bring up Sister Bishop, Brother Prince, Sister Fabi, all these others who was part of this assembly and have gone to rest, have changed dwelling places. And this evening, as we close here, there is a true burying place. We have to have a revelation where we are to be buried in order to raise up. Amen. They knew the resurrection was going to take place in the land of the Father. But God, by a covenant, gave Abraham that land. And Joshua came and divided that land to Israel and placed everyone and showed the boundaries of that land. That is why even the Jews today back in Palestine, that nation Israel is fighting for every inch of that ground. Because they look back in that Bible and they see where the borders are. The only people change the names. They call it West Bank and Gaza. They call it Judea and Samaria. Because they call it after the biblical way. They make back Jerusalem the capital, that very same land. And that natural land is only a type of the spiritual land. Amen. And that spiritual land, the Holy Spirit, the promised word for this day, that's where we have to be buried in. Amen. In order to come up in the resurrection. Could we all stand to our feet? There's a land where we'll never grow old. There's a promise in our hearts this evening. And may these words be of comfort and give strength. That she is buried in the true burying place. We come here this evening paying our last respects to one we knew as Sister Sylvia Bishop. A sister in Jesus Christ. She has many relatives and friends here this evening. Family. And this is a little psalm called the Psalm of Life. I'd like to read it. It said, tell me not in mournful numbers Life is but an empty dream. For the soul is dead at slumbers, and things are not what they seem. Life is real. Life is earnest. And the grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, to dust returnest, was not spoken of the soul. Not enjoyment and not sorrow is our destined end or way, but the art that each tomorrow findeth farther than today. Art is long and time is fleeting, and our hearts, though stout and brave, still like muffled drums are beating funeral marches to the grave. In the world's broad field of battle, in the bivouac of life, be not like dumb driven cattle, but a hero in the strife. Trust no future, however pleasant. Let the dead past bury its dead. Act in the living present. Heart within and God overhead. Lives of great men all remind us we can make our lives sublime and depart and leave behind us footprints on the sands of time. Footprints that perhaps another sailing our lives shall remain. A forlorn and shipwrecked brother seeing shall take heart again. Let us then be up and doing with a heart for any fate, still achieving, still pursuing, learn to labor and to wait. As I close with this evening, I read a story one time where a man had a celebration. He had party with friends and having a jolly life, and he's drinking and excessively, and he was really drunk. And the little boy was with him, and it was snowing, it was cold, it was dark and hazy. And he's walking, going to his home, but he's drunk and he's tagging like that. Couldn't walk straight. As he turned around to look for his little boy, he saw his little boy wobbling like that. Wallowing in the snow coming, trying to follow him. He said, "What's the matter? Why are you tagging like that? Why are you wallowing in the snow? What's the matter?" He said, "Daddy, I'm trying to follow your footprints." Our sister have left footprints this evening. That anyone here could look at it. It led into the house of God. It led her to the word of God. It led her to eternal life. Amen. People thought Moses was dead. Jesus took Peter, James, and John in a mountain. They saw Moses and Elijah in the mountain. The same Moses. He was buried in the real burying place. 800 years after, he was still there. Let me admonish the family, the friends, the relatives, those who love the bishop, who can pay the last respect, follow her footprints that she have left. Footprints that was in the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ left footprints each and every one of us, and she found those footprints, and she walked in those footprints. As an example to her home, she could leave her children, her daughters, to know that she was a real mother. They know she wasn't no wild lady. She was a mother. Amen. And the way they knew her, they could pattern herself after this evening. She loved her in-laws, everyone. She loved us as brothers, and he made us feel like she was our mother also, who was close to her. And we thank God for a gallant soul that has gone unto rest and have left that type of footprint this evening that we could look at. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you there's a land where we'll never grow old. We thank you that you left words of comfort. You said, comfort one another with these words. And Lord, as I try to speak them sincerely from my heart, I try to speak with a motive to create a faith, to give expectation that those who come here and bereaved, Father, Lord, can lift up their heads and look up and have hope in this hour of grief. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Oh God, for the family, it might be a little dark spell, but Lord God, console them this evening. Strengthen them. Give them courage and determination. Let them know you are real, you are alive. You love them and you care for them. For their mother was your daughter. Mr. Bishop's wife was your daughter. You gave her to him to be a wife to him. You gave her to the children to be a mother to them. She served her purpose. She did that faithfully. And you gave her to be a testimony unto us as a real Christian, Father. Lord, I pray You bless and encourage your family. We know her soul is resting in your presence. She's in a place where she'll never grow old. There's no more heartaches, no more sorrow. She's going to return to be with us, where we'll never part no more. We look forward to that day, Father. In this world, there is so much famine and distress and war. Nations against nations, earthquakes in diverse places, men are filled with fear, perplexity, recession. Lord God, all kinds of things, inflation. The world is falling apart. But it said, I am going to prepare a place for you. That where I am, there you may be also. Let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe in me also. We thank you, Father, that in this hour, when the storms are blowing to and fro, though the ship might be tossed, there's an anchor that holds our soul, that stabilizes us. Let an anchor hold in every heart. And those that don't know you, they might be next. But Lord, could a service like this be preached to them? Only you know, Father. And only they know. I pray if there's any that don't know you here this evening, Lord God, they may find that burying place. They may find that Redeemer. They may find those bloody footprints. And they would walk in there. And they'd be a true representative. He said, you are the light of the world while you are in the world. Let your light shine in darkness. Other men may see your groups and glorify the Father who is in heaven. We commit each and every one of your hands now. Especially your family. Keep them near to you. Under your wings. Sweetly abiding. Grant it, Father. As we leave this place, to go to put the remains, this physical body that she lived in, is like an old dress that she used to wear. When she got a new one, she would take it off, hang it up, and step into the new one. It leaves behind her image, her form. Amen. Only as a memorial to testify that there is one living in it. So we know. Lord, she have left behind. She is already in a new one. As we take it, the place in the earth, a hall of memory, where it will be for a memorial that Sister Sylvia Bishop once lived in it. Oh God, be with us and lead us and direct us in what we should do that may be pleasing unto you. For we pray and we ask it. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, with thanksgiving, amen and amen. Let's sing that song. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today, a song of praise. Hallelujah. If you have a little blue book, I believe it's somewhere like 52. Let's sing. My daughter said her mother so loved that song, would sing it. It testified that she was saved. Amen. It testified God brought out our life of sin to walk a holy walk. Amen. To have a place in His kingdom. My heart was distressed, overjet from and ruined the pit where my sin dragged me down. I cried to the Lord. Deep miry clay, who tenderly brought me up. Oh, He brought me up.
He brought me up.
Up the miry clay. He set my feet.
He set my feet.
On the rock to see.
He
put a song in my soul. Today a song of praise. He placed me upon a strong rock by His side. Oh, my steps were established. No danger of falling.
But
stand by His grace until the proud night. He brought me out of the fire. He set my feet on the rock to
sing.
He put a song in my soul today. gave me a song for the new song of praise. Oh, by day and by night. Oh, my heart's overflowing. I praise my Redeemer. Oh, he brought me out. My faith on the rock to see the song in my soul today. I'll sing of his wonderful mercy to me. I'll praise him till all men his goodness shall see. Oh, I'll sing of salvation. Out of the mire, clay. He set my feet on the rock to sing. He put a song in my soul today, a song of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. You may have a seat as the ushers would dismiss it quietly. Just wait until the ushers dismiss you quietly also. From here, I believe we'll be going out to the border cemetery where we continue from here. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Surely goodness.